Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking today with Miss Jessica Etheridge, and I'm going to make sure I get this title right. with Recreational Concepts, you're the Director of Advocacy for Educated Play.
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to break that down because I need to know what that means. But first, introduce yourself. Tell me a little bit about how you ended up where you are now.
Right.
And then we'll talk a little bit about your background in education.
Okay. Well, I have been working there for a whole 2 weeks, so it has been a huge learning curve. Recreational Concepts does all kind of recreational things, you know, playgrounds, turf, outdoor classrooms, outdoor shading, trash
splash
cans,
pad.
Benches,
I
splash
saw
pads.
They're starting
We're doing
a splash
the
pad.
Cane Creek one. So they do a little bit of everything. So that has been a big, fun learning curve. We've got to go look around and look at all the cool playgrounds around, you know, the Upper Cumberland. So it's never a bad day when you get to go hang out on a playground.
Of course, of course. But you started in education.
Yes.
So
yes.
You have a few years in the school systems.
Yes.
And a few different roles.
Yes, I started out as a CDC teacher for a year. Then I moved to an ERC, Extended Resource Teacher, in a middle school. I ended up at Stone Memorial High School, where I did their inclusion and resource and that kind of thing. So I was there for several years and loved the high school kiddos. And then moved back to Cookeville, where I was at Avery Trace for several years doing special ed and then also RTI and the IB program. Then I moved to Avery, not Avery Trace, to All Good, where I was the assistant principal there for 4 years. And then most recently, I was the principal at Upper Middle School for 3 years. So been a little bit all over the place and done all kinds of things.
a lot of different experiences.
Yes.
A lot of different school systems and a lot of different climates, I would say. So,
yes.
So there's a lot of experiences there. And I definitely want to get into a few of those. I want to talk about a few of those and talk about what you're doing now. But first, my question that I ask everybody, who was your favorite teacher growing up? Now, are you from this area?
I'm not. I'm originally from Clarksville.
Okay, originally from Clarksville. Yep. So it may be a teacher that's from that area.
Yep.
It may not be. It could be a college teacher. So it could be anybody. But think about that and think about who a favorite teacher was.
It would have
up.
To be Coach Donahue, who was, I didn't have him in class, but he was our soccer coach, and I played,
okay.
That's how I ended up in Cookeville. I played soccer at Tech, and so I still go and sit down and have mentoring-type conversations with him. It's still to this day when I go home, so he definitely had a huge impact on my life.
Okay. Did you coach soccer while you were in
not.
The school systems?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
So did you carry over any of that soccer, some of his coaching style mentality into the classrooms?
Oh, I would assume so. Yes. Yeah. He's very much the old school coach that, you know, if you're yelling, you're probably doing good. When he gets quiet, that's when you know it's scary.
That kind of
mentality. Yeah.
Yeah. Run some laps.
Exactly.
Run some suicides until you can't breathe.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was great.
Yeah. I had a few of those coaching types.
Get you where you're going.
Right. Well, and I could see some of that carrying over certainly into the principal, mm-hmm. to the roles of principal.
Yeah. Definitely pushes you in, you know. Mental stability and strength and those kind of things.
Yeah,
so.
Where you need that. So you came to Tech to play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So did you always know that you were going to be a teacher?
Yes.
Did you do that from the beginning?
Yes, I would say so. Always, all the way through high school, I worked and volunteered a lot and did student aid kind of thing with our CDC special ed classroom, where I really fell in love with special ed and those kiddos. So, and then I just went for it. So that's where I started and where I finished up. So
okay, so you stuck with
yep.
it. And so I imagine that you had probably had Dr. Graves and Dr. Daney.
Had Dr. Daney.
Yes.
I didn't have Dr.
Okay.
Graves, but maybe one class. But Dr. Daney, lots of classes. She was fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
stayed in contact with her after school and everything.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Now, yep. Well, that's fun. And so one of the things that I've had the conversation, so you were working with high school students and special needs populations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a good area to capture teachers, because I'm always trying to figure
right.
out ways to pull more people into teaching, are those peer buddy
Absolutely.
Type situations.
Absolutely.
Is that something that really hooked you, or were you already on the path and then that was just icing on the cake to be able to do that additional work?
I think it
students?
Confirmed that that's what I wanted to do. I'll say the teacher of the class was my grandmother's best friend, so I knew her, you know, and I knew it was a great place to start. But then I got sucked into it and fell in love with it. And but I think my senior year, I spent 3 class periods a day in there, you know, doing various different tasks or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it was really, my heart said that's where you need to stay. Mm-hmm. So it just confirmed that's where I needed to be.
Kind of kickstarted that,
absolutely,
that pathway for
yes,
you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good, because I think that's a target for me is to find those people that are doing that, because sometimes that they're doing it because they love it, but it has not occurred to them yet that they could be a great teacher.
With it? Right. Exactly.
You know, and make a career out of that, because it takes a special person to do that. And someone who's passionate for helping
absolutely
those students, I want them to be a teacher.
Right. You know, absolutely.
I want to get them in that place.
Yes.
How did you find your way into special education before that? Did you always intend to be in special education or just teacher in general?
I think just from being around Ms. Keen, was her name, Ms. Keen. And, you know, even before I was in high school, we'd go over and visit her classroom. And so I was familiar with those kind of things. So then when it was like, you can be a student aide in here, I was like, oh, let's do it. You know, and then it just continued to grow from there. So,
yeah. And then getting to work across different classrooms at all those different grade levels.
Yes.
Was there a favorite age?
My first year, I had kindergarten through fourth grade CDC and absolutely adored it. I mean, just those kids were so fun. And I was like, I would have stayed there forever, but it just wasn't the right spot for me life-wise. And so that was great. I loved high school kids for the opposite reason. You know, you feel like you can make an impact there. They can see what you're saying and see the end of the tunnel and say, okay, she does know what she's talking about. But then middle school's fun too, because they're middle school, and we always say about seventh grade, they leave Earth, and then the end of eighth grade, they come back, and they're like real people again. They're just their own little people, and they're fun in their own way. Each grade level has their own just positives, I feel like.
So you've enjoyed them all?
Yes. Like when I did middle school, my second year teaching, I was like, I will never be in middle school again. And then lo and behold, that's where I ended up and spent most of my time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Because some people are very serious about, I will teach first grade and I will never go over that. You know, or I will teach middle school.
Exactly.
And I will never do differently. But it's funny because we have students who end up in different areas for a practicum or some kind of placement. And they're like, oh,
I really
do like sixth graders because they're kind of snarky and they're kind of fun.
They're fun, yeah.
You know,
they're a different fun than fourth graders. You know,
it is. And so I'm always happy when someone finds that niche and they're happy with that grade level, because
absolutely,
you know, it's going to make for a more successful career.
Right.
When they get plugged in the right place.
Right. Exactly. And then I think being flexible with it too, of, you know, maybe fourth or sixth, and you know, that just gives you more hiring flexibility of,
correct,
you know, if you can get all the certifications, but
yes. Well, and now it's a little easier to get certifications across, because with states change. Now, you can't test directly into special education, but you can almost test into anything else.
Everything else, yeah. I'm like, that gets more check marks on your application box.
It does. Yeah. It does along the way, even though I'm not sure that all of those connections are the best.
Right.
I'm a good test taker.
Right.
And so just because I can pass a test, maybe doesn't mean that
it's where you should be.
It's where
absolutely.
I should be.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, going back to as a principal, you would have liked to see that, just because if you have an empty spot and you could grab somebody else and move them and shift people, then you do a lot of people shifting.
Yes. I know, and that's hard in middle school too, especially here in Putnam County, where we have the fifth grade as a middle school, because that certification runs. So if you hire an elementary school person, you can, but you're sort of locked in on where they can teach within the building. So,
can make it challenging. So I know that the flexibility, a lot of the things that come from, you know, either legislators or even the Department of Ed, State Department, wherever it's coming from, good intentions. Sometimes it's best intentions.
Absolutely.
But then on the ground,
by the time it gets down to us.
It doesn't always work out.
Exactly.
You know, because you can, I mean, you know, theoretically, if we have a K-12 ESL teacher, if they can pass the physics exam.
Right.
They could jump into a physics classroom. And, you know, so some of those things don't connect for
right,
me completely
right,
and,
right.
and make like, sense.
You wouldn't want me teaching that?
Yeah. I don't think most people would want to teach it or,
right,
you know, be
right,
able to do
absolutely.
That. But we're always working through, and I'm sure as a principal, yep. you know, your time as a principal and in the classroom, and I know you all have a lot of paperwork, as special education teachers. I know that a lot of that is caused by the state or caused
yes.
by well-intentioned legislators,
absolutely.
And it ends up, you know, causing you more work.
Yep.
At the end of the day.
Yep.
Taking time away from the students.
Yes, that was when I moved from special ed to the RTI coordinator. That was the biggest. I felt like I was still doing the same job, but I didn't have the paperwork that went along with it. It was the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes it would be nice just to have a phone call and say
from
a legislator,
right,
you know,
right.
or
how's
someone
this going?
Who's,
yeah.
yeah, how'd this work out
just
for
come
you?
Just hang out for a day.
Yeah, before we put this in place, what do you think about it?
Right.
That would
like
that
it's
would
above
be
my pay grade.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Yep.
So you've made the jump out.
Yes.
So we're going to dig into that in just a second. But did you ever see yourself? Did you set out to be a principal early on, or was that something that just kind of worked in your career path?
I think I always wanted to help others. So I think I always viewed that as I got further into education, that if you move up, you can help more people.
Mm-hmm.
Was sort of how administration got sort of going and got me moving in that direction, was how can I help more people?
Mm-hmm.
So it gave you a bigger, I don't want to say audience, that's not the right word, but a bigger pool of people to have an impact on. So
mm-hmm.
sort of got me down that path.
Yeah,
so.
Working through that. So yeah,
yep.
and it makes sense. And I'm always interested to hear how people got there. It's
right.
always, you
right.
know, along the way. So, well, let's take a short break and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about recreational concepts.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking education with Jessica Etheridge of Recreational Concepts. I'm not going to try to tell your title again because I'm going to make you explain it. So first, tell us a little bit about the company itself. A little more
right.
like how long has it been around? Is it local? Is it national? Like just
right.
any information. I know that you've just started there
Put
recently.
Put me on the spot
so.
On that one.
Tell me what
concepts.
You know.
Yes, yeah, it's like a quiz. It is a recreation company, obviously in the name, but we sort of focus on playgrounds with LSI, which is Landscape Structures, which is the company that provides our playground equipment and they're amazing. Their big push is inclusive playgrounds, so all kids can play together. Not just any kid can sit on a swing, but any kid can sit on a swing with a friend. Like, it's the next level, and it's awesome, which gets me super excited. But they also focus on turf, so that sports fields that, you know, we put in just a turf recess area at Upperman when I was there. I know all good middle school has a turf little area just for recess, so when it's crummy, we can still go outside and play. Shades, outdoor classrooms, everything from benches to trash cans for anything you need outside is really what we focus on. So
okay, so how
yeah.
so what drew you in from the education side? So how did you make the jump from a classroom
yes.
principal?
Actually, a friend of ours works there and was telling me about it. And obviously the playground side of it, the special ed side of it, you know, getting that out there to more kids was very entertaining to me. And I wanted to know more. And then being a principal is hard. It's tiring. It's a lot of work. You know, there's weeks you're working 60, 80 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a 9-year-old little boy. And so the opportunity came to just be able to be home a little bit more and be mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost too good to pass up. So I was like, change is hard, but I'm going to be brave and give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So I stepped out and started July 1st and just been on a whirlwind of learning since then. So,
mm-hmm. So do you think, will you get hands-on with the designs? So are you going to have to learn Tinkercad or, you know, learn,
no.
learn some of these
Thank
things?
Thank goodness we have people in our office that know how to do all that. I will be sort of, I don't want to say sales, marketing kind of thing, but a liaison to schools to try to help them get these products to kids. So in schools, grants will be a big focus for me of helping them be able to find grants and possibly write grants to try to get more stuff, and then just getting out and telling people how awesome our products are and that mm-hmm. you need them for your kids because they're that good. Mm-hmm. So that'll mm-hmm. really be the push of my job.
Yeah. Well, and to me, the industry has changed dramatically
yes.
since I'm a little bit older, but since I was a kid with,
right.
you know, just throw up whatever you can build with whatever's
exactly.
laying around.
The wooden playgrounds. Yeah.
yeah. Or even the shiny aluminum, you know,
exactly. 70, little swing
70 foot slides that,
exactly.
that you've
right.
come to the bottom and you don't have any skin left on your legs. It's
exactly
changed a lot.
Yes.
And it's been fun to see it. You know, some of us are a little grumbly about getting rid of merry-go-rounds and some of the more dangerous things from
our
childhood.
We do have a safer version of that now. That's pretty awesome.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
See, safer
I know, it
in
takes
playgrounds,
the fun out of it.
but it makes sense to me to have accessible things because
yes.
that's something that, you know, as a kid never occurred to me. That
exactly.
You know, until you have someone who needs that
right.
access.
Yes.
And so do you see that more... Our schools, parks, do you see that expanding everywhere?
It is a huge push for parks. Cities are really, I feel like funding is a little bit easier for them. There's a lot of more city-based grants mm-hmm. that they have been able to take advantage of. So those inclusive playgrounds are really the big, and it's the more inclusive, the more expensive. Mm-hmm. Sadly, you know, inevitably. Mm-hmm. And so they try to get as much in as they can per budget kind of thing. But you've got some that are just awesome. Like there's no stairs. It's all ramps. It's all, you know, solid kind of surface kind of stuff. So wheelchairs can go across it and they can mm-hmm. go up into the big structures because it's mm-hmm. all ramps. And it's super cool to see the kids up there that feel like they probably don't get to do that everywhere else. And they're mm-hmm. left out sometimes. And so it's fun.
Yeah. And I felt like the Heart of the City playground mm-hmm. was one of the first ones that
right.
that I really had interaction
absolutely.
With.
Yeah.
And it was fun to see that because you see it and you're like, oh, I didn't know that existed.
Exactly.
I didn't know that was an option.
Exactly. Yeah. And playgrounds look so different. I mean, some of the designs that they come up with for some of our playgrounds, I mean, are just stories and stories high with just crazy things that, I mean, I'm like, I want to go play on that,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
it just looks so different than what you said, you know, than what we grew up with. So
mm-hmm.
it's a really cool, it's a cool industry. So
yeah. Now has the company, have they worked with much of the local school systems?
I know we did some of the swings for the new playground set for Parkview when it opened, part of it. We did
okay.
that. We've got a lot of playgrounds up in Crossville we went and visited, and it's been up there for about 10 years with the splash pad, and it's the coolest playground. And so we've gone around to several different places, and I'm getting the show around and the tour. We visited I grew up in Clarksville, so we were there for the 4th. We went and visited a couple cool playgrounds we'd put in there. And so it's growing. We're trying to get more business here, if
sure,
you say.
Sure. Well, and it makes sense. So do you do residential at all, or is it primary?
I mean, you could,
commercial?
But it's priced out of residential. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I just didn't
yes.
know enough about it. So are there,
yeah.
Do you have engineers on staff or designers, or
we have
what
a,
does that look
we
like?
We have a designer
the
and
who
then
work there.
People who want specific things, we send that to the actual company based out of Minnesota,
okay.
and they will put the actual individual pieces together. But it's all customizable. It lasts forever compared to, you know, other products just because of the way it's produced. And it's just, I'm going up to Minnesota next week to see the plant and learn all about
okay.
it. So that's super exciting. But the lastingness of our products is what sets us apart. And the support that we put, we've got 3 guys on staff that, I mean, if something breaks on your swing, you're going to call them. And within that day, we're going to get it fixed or get the part ordered. And not a lot of companies can say that. So,
It's not like just picking one up
exactly.
at Sam's Club and,
right.
then
calling a 1-800 number, like you're calling my cell phone and we're getting it taken care of for you. So
right,
I feel
right.
like that personal touch makes us a little different too. So
yeah. So you're going up to see the plant. I also imagine that there are probably like trade shows.
Yes.
For
and we get to
playground
go.
Equipment.
Apparently the city where it is in Minnesota, they obviously give the schools and parks good deals on their playgrounds. So they have a place to set up all the new stuff. So we get to go play and see and, so it'll be fun to go visit all these really cool playgrounds.
yeah, yeah. That, no, that sounds there are much worse things,
exactly,
I think,
right?
that you could be doing with,
right,
with your time than to,
yeah,
see examples. And I'm always impressed when I see the accessible playgrounds or even really just new,
mm-hmm,
equipment.
Right.
That some of it, I mean, almost looks like an American Ninja Warrior course.
Exactly, yes. We have stuff like that. Yeah.
Because it's so high tech and,
right,
and innovative and colorful,
mm-hmm,
just a lot different than,
yes,
than what I'm accustomed
that
to.
Primary color only kind of stuff, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it makes a big difference. So you mentioned grants. So, mm-hmm, are there specific grant projects or grants that you're going to work with local schools? What are you thinking with that?
That's part of the making it up as we go, making my position up and trying to move forward. I've spent a lot of time the past week really researching grants and figuring out what's part of it and requirements. And I've got this whole list that I'm waiting on people to say, help me fill this out, you know, because there's money out there. We've just got to apply for it. So it's just helping people find it and fill out the paperwork. So
Right.
Yeah.
So just narrow it down. And I know that in a city especially or a school district, a grant writer is worth their weight,
right,
in gold,
right,
when they do it well.
Exactly.
You know, because, yep, there's funding for, especially if you're looking at assisted, you know, special needs,
exactly,
playgrounds.
Exactly.
It seems like there would be funding for that.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, let's take a short break and then we'll come back and talk a little more about some of the local stuff you're doing.
Awesome.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking to Jessica Etheridge of Recreational Concepts, formerly Putnam County Schools and several other school districts. So spent a lot of time in the school system.
Yes, yes.
And now you've made a jump over to something a little different. So so Recreational Concepts, so you all build inclusive playgrounds and you do turf, and there's a lot of things, mm-hmm, there. One of the notes that we had was the Restoring Childhood Initiative. So what is that? What does it mean? How does it impact my children?
Right. And I'll be honest, it is based off the Anxious Generation book, and Ryan Dalton with Putnam County Schools is leading that, and all the things he's done that I've seen are phenomenal. And I know the school board's jumped on board with it and really pushing it. I think there's a countywide book club kind of thing going on that starts sometime soon. I know they have a Facebook page with all the details, but I've read a little bit of the book. I've really decided it's a great book. I want to jump into it and really get into it. But like I said, I just started it, but it does focus on limiting screen time for kids. And then their other big thing is that we're overprotecting them in the real world and underprotecting them online. And as a mom, I felt like that was very, very big statement, because, mm-hmm, I'm like, maybe I really am being a little too overprotective. And then online, I'm like, just go do your thing. I'll check on you a little bit. So
yeah,
it's very eye-opening of the, you know, coming from middle school. One of the big things from the book is the mental health crisis that comes with the social media and the not having social skills and all the pressures from that. And we definitely are seeing that uptick in middle schools, especially, I'm sure high schools are too, but of that mental health crisis with kiddos, of because they're not getting all the things they need because we're putting them on screens. So,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
And it's so it has changed so dramatically.
Right.
You know, even in the time that I've been teaching at Tech, we weren't teaching with a lot of technology early on,
right?
But there are so many technologies now, and a few things. And we've talked with some of other guests. About how with cell phones, it's come full circle.
Right.
You know, for a
right.
while, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great tool. We're going to be able to use this in the classroom.
Right.
And people were kind of trying to figure it out. But now, you
it's
know.
It's like obsessive.
It is. It is, to the point that we're going to lock them up.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, during the school day. At least,
I'm not upset that I don't have to be there to
I know,
do
to,
all that.
To police,
I think
to
it's,
police
yeah,
that.
I think it's a great idea. I know people have mixed feelings on it. And safety is always, you know, especially mm-hmm. a parent's first concern. But
mm-hmm.
I think as far as focusing on school,
mm-hmm.
The kids mm-hmm. are just so obsessed with it. And
yeah.
I think if you can break that, you know, I would always say when I was in the classroom, you can have free time for, you know, 5 minutes at the end of class, mm-hmm. but you can't be on your computer. And they would be like, mind's blown. Like, yeah. what am I supposed to do? I'm like, I don't know, talk to each other, play a card game, color. I don't know. Like, they
right.
didn't know what to do with themselves. And
right.
so I feel like trying to get back to having conversations is definitely needed.
And some creativity,
absolutely,
you know, comes a long way. So I just did a guest author book read for mm-hmm. Freedom School. We have
okay.
Freedom School every summer at Tennessee Tech. And so the book I read is called My Big Ball of String. And
yes.
it was a book that I had when I was a kid. But I pointed out to the children that, that there were no cell phones, no technology in the book.
The
kid was left to his own device to be creative, and he found a ball of string, and he didn't have enough, so he rummaged through the garbage, and he went through,
he figured it out.
Made a big ball of string, and then and then the book goes through him doing all these things, and it's all it struck me that it's all creative thinking and creative play. Because he is left to his own time, and there is no stopping and being distracted, or just watching things mindlessly.
Exactly.
And I think that we're missing that.
Right.
And I'll say that I've tried to limit with my children.
Exactly.
And some of my children are grown now. But limiting that time and giving them creative things, we live out on a farm, so there's plenty of things to do.
Right.
It's
go
like,
outside.
Go outside, just like I heard when I was a kid. But, it was more like I had to be coaxed inside.
Right.
And now we coax our
outside.
Children
Absolutely.
Outside.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that with, it leads to that, and I'm sure that you saw that as a classroom teacher and as a principal. Mm-hmm. Having to deal with the anxiety that it causes, being away from that device or being on it constantly and then dealing with all the social issues that,
like I feel
that
like
come with
the,
it.
The pressure, and I always think like when we were in school, if someone was picking on you or something like that, you went home and you got away from it. It was your safe space. Well, now it's on your phone. Like they never get a break from those social pressures. Mm-hmm. And I think, that's hard. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, just to feel like you always have to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Well, and the social media that's not realistic.
Yes.
We had fewer, as a child, I had fewer influences that were like, this is
a Hollywood star that wasn't really living in the real
world. Unrealistic. That's
unrealistic.
Right. But now you're just, you get it all the time.
Right.
All these unrealistic things. And I'm guilty of the same thing.
Right.
I put this magical picture on social media, and it's a perfect moment of a once in a perfect week.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just this little capture of a perfect moment.
Yeah.
It is, but it's not necessarily realistic. In the real world.
Exactly. So I think, with this and the district, and I know other districts have jumped on board. I've seen where they've posted that, which I think is awesome. But I think the thing is, if all the parents will jump on board together and say, we're taking this away or we're limiting it, then it's almost safety in numbers, so like power to the people kind of thing. Like
it
if
is.
All the parents can stick together, then it's going to be easier if every kid's miserable with it,
correct.
All at one time, and we can all get over it, as opposed to, my kiddo, I was like, you're not spending all day on your video games. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, I don't know. Stare at the wall. I guess you'll figure it out. But I think they get so dependent on that's the only thing to entertain them that, so.
And it's so easy. It's built that way to keep you engaged and to keep you drawn in from the time that kids are very, very little.
Exactly.
We kind of laugh about like Cocomelon
and
some of the things that they're just, it's 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it shifts. There's
like
never
their attention
anything
is exactly.
That stays for a long time. And you sat through the courses just like I did.
Right.
You talk about brain development and how that's not good for brain development.
Right.
You need that hands-on
just
time and
yes.
unstructured and
yes.
things to be creative with.
Get outside and ride your bike.
to get out and do the things. And I feel like there's a through line with what you all are doing with the recreational concepts, just having playtime. And I do think, and I've been talking about legislators and how they things they do impact good and bad, but I do think that additional playtime for elementary kids, although it does create scheduling conflicts and it's hard to work it in, and teachers may have to stop what they're doing and go out, take the kids outside.
Right.
But I do think it's a positive thing.
I think so, too.
Getting them outside a little bit more.
Yes. All that research shows that the more they play, when they come back in, they're ready to be engaged and their brain has that break and they're not sitting, staring, especially, now they're on a computer so much of the day at school, too. I know last year we saw a big push and we went through so much paper and my bookkeeper was like, where did all the paper go? And I was like, the teachers were like, get them off the computer. We're going old school. We're printing everything. We're getting them off the computer. And I think the kids are burnout on it too. They won't say that because they would rather have the computer in front of them. But they, you know, they worked better when it was paper and pencil. And we saw a big sort of shift starting to happen back where we were coming off the Chromebooks as much. And everybody tended to really like it. The kids weren't going to say, take the computer away. But, you know.
Yeah, they're okay with it. Yep. They're okay with it. Yep. Because so many kids were still getting so much screen time.
Absolutely.
At home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just comes down to a parent's responsibility to manage that and police that. But it's a difficult thing.
Right.
I mean, parenting is not easy, but
exactly.
Managing a child that's, you know, you feel like is addicted to a screen.
Yeah.
It is a challenge. I mean, you got to really step up and be.
I mean, we would have kids that would say, or parents that would say, "I'm taking my kid's phone away. Will you lock it in the office? Because if I take it home, they'll somehow get it back, or they'll talk me into it." Like we would keep it, and I'm like, "Absolutely, we will help you out." But I'm like, it's that big of an addiction that I mean, at some point we all have to survive. And as a parent, sometimes you just give in because we're all trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Yeah, and the change is so dramatic. When I was in school, you know, there were not cell phones. We still had pay phones,
right?
In my school, and so that just shows the difference. You know, I feel like there was much less anxiety caused by cell phones, caused by cell phones for whatever reason. It was just a very different
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
How did you, as a principal, how did you deal with that level of anxiety in the school?
How did you
work through that?
Just level. Like, I mean, there's kids that have anxiety for different reasons, and you know, some is technology, some is, you know, I don't want to leave home because there's stuff going on, or, you know, whatever. And it's just get to know them and love them and help them get through it, because we all got to be at school and do the work, so we can't just live at home forever. So we had fantastic counselors that would always step in and help. We had an awesome reset room that we just started last year, sort of like a break room.
Mm-hmm.
It was therapeutic, kind of lights and all the little sensory things. And kids really started, you know, that needed that break or needed that morning time to reset, started using it just as a safe space. And, you know, they would know I could go in here and have my 5 minutes, get myself together, and then I could go have a good rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it really became a cool tool that kids use to self-regulate a little bit once we taught them how to use it. So that helped quite a bit with that.
Yeah, and it makes a difference having any kind of tool, any
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. And really with – I like the overprotecting and the underprotecting,
right?
those concepts, because I do feel like –
like we don't want them to go outside because we're afraid they're going to get kidnapped. But the stats on that haven't changed from where
we
grew up. So
right.
What's really changed? Yeah.
Right. And being an 80s kid, I mean, just, you know, go outside, come back.
Exactly.
I'll see you later.
I bought the tracking watch. So when my kid says I'm going outside to play, at least I can like stalk him and I know he's okay. But
yeah.
I'm like, get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it'll play in all the things, especially to me, the recreational concept stuff. I mean, it all plays in, and I do think it's going to be a positive thing. So, well, we've reached the end of our time.
Awesome. Well,
but
thanks
I appreciate
for having
you
me.
Coming out. Yeah, of course. And good luck with your new venture. I'm sure it'll be great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.